Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So as I said before the break, the Pulitzer Prize Committee did not award a Pulitzer for literature yesterday. Sarah McNally, owner of McNally Jackson Books on Prince Street in Lower Manhattan, joins us now to speculate on why the board might have snubbed all the nominees the first time in 35 years that no novel won a Pulitzer for fiction. And she'll talk about some of the titles of 2011 that may have deserved to be in the running. We will also take your suggestions for our list of novels, which should have, in your expert opinions, won the 2011 prize for fiction. Obviously, this has to be a book that was released in 2011. So what new fiction were you reading last year that you think should have been seriously considered for this prize? We hope to come out with a list of at least five. I know our guest has brought three. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. You can also tweet us right now using the hashtag #FictionSnub. Hashtag #FictionSnub to propose what novel released in 2011 might have won the Pulitzer Prize for fiction. Sarah McNally, hi. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hello, good morning.
And let's jump right in and talk about the three nominees which didn't make the cut. These were official nominees: Train Dreams by Dennis Johnson, Swamplandia by Karen Russell, and David Foster Wallace's The Pale King. Did you read all three?
I've read all three, and I loved all three, yes.
Why would they go to the trouble of nominating books if they weren't going to pick any of them?
Well, I don't think that's exactly how the process works. I think that the final judges are sent three novels that a larger panel reads, 320-some books, and then chooses three and sends them on to panel of three, and then those three judges couldn't reach consensus.
I see. And the New York Times reported that the board might have been perplexed by the finalists since Train Dreams was originally published as a novella in the Paris Review in 2002, and The Pale King was unfinished when David Foster Wallace died. So were these unusual selections?
I think so. I mean, the David Foster Wallace, I know a lot of people who feel it should have won as a statement on David Foster Wallace's career, but that's never been how the Pulitzer has worked. It's always been choosing a book that stands alone as a wonderful read. Train Dreams, I'm not sure what the rules of the Pulitzer Committee are, but surely it wouldn't have been sent to the final three judges if it wasn't eligible. And Swamplandia, it's a very specific book. I can see, although 2011 was a very odd year in fiction. There was not a lot of consensus throughout the year. The best of the year lists had very little overlap. The best of the year lists had very little overlap with the books that actually did win awards. And Swamplandia was one of the few books that did seem to get some kind of consensus going and was on most of the lists. But amongst my store even, there's a lot of divided opinion on that book.
Do you think that, was there one that you expected to win or one that you really would have liked to see win?
The one that I would have liked to see win, I didn't hold any hope for. The one, if I was to nominate a book for the Pulitzer, I think I would choose The Great Night by Chris Adrian, which was published by FSG and is coming out in May in paperback. And it is a rewriting of Midsummer Night's Dream, and it's the kind of book that the Pulitzer Prize can really make, the way that they can take books that people might not know whether or not they should take seriously, which they have a tradition of doing, and giving it their vote, and the public can come to it as a serious book despite it being extremely entertaining, or by a woman writer who normally men might not read, or whatever it might be. And The Great Night is about a fairy war in a public park in San Francisco, and three heartbroken mortals get dragged into this fairy war. And you tell people about this, and they think this might not be a serious book that they should read, but it is magnificent. It's beautiful. It is an author truly probing his heart and exploring the human condition on the page. And that would have been my first vote for the Pulitzer.
That's wonderful. And we have several people calling in with novels released last year that they thought might have been considered. Mari in Westfield has one. Hi, Mari.
You.
Good. What's your book?
My book, Stephen King's 11/22/63, and I say that as a former grad student in English who's a literary snob. I thought it was outstanding.
K- Can you give us one more phrase? Outstanding because?
A well-researched historical novel with some formal experimentation near the end where he imagines what history could have been like if it had been changed. And he does his usual thing with characterization and with plot. But I thought that there was enough formal experimentation and certainly enough research to make it at least worthy of being nominated.
All right. Thank you very much. You read that Stephen King book?
I didn't. It was also in the New York Times top five novels of the year, too. Mm.
Your second pick is We the Animals by Justin Torres. What's that?
Justin Torres, that's the first novel by a very young writer. And it might have it might be a little bit slight for a Pulitzer winner, but it is, I would say, the most exciting young voice coming out of America right now. His writing is astounding. It's astounding. It reminded me a little bit of Salinger and a little bit of Bolaño almost, and it's limpid prose. And it's a coming-of-age novel. It's a brief coming-of-age and coming-out novel, and it's beautiful. I would recommend it to anybody. And I wish it had won an award. I think it would have really could have changed the immediate future of American literature to have this author a little more famous.
Laura in Long Island City has a book. Hi, Laura.
Yes, hi. I really liked The Art of Fielding.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's about baseball, and which at first made me shy away from it. But then it was a book club selection, so I did read it and really enjoyed it. And I didn't have to worry about the baseball part because it was so well described and so well written in that regard that it was just a thoroughly entertaining book for me, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. And your third pick, Sarah, is really unconventional. It's a comic novel. Tell us about Matt Johnson's Pym.
I threw this in, and my booksellers will probably be mad at me not for choosing The Art of Fielding, because it was an enormous staff favorite here and the kind of book that you could sell to almost anybody who would love it. It's so good. But Pym, there's a tendency of awards to shy away from comic novels, and I can't think of a comic novel that's won in recent years. The Booker nominated the Australian novel a couple of years ago that was a comic novel, but then it didn't end up winning. White Tiger ended up winning. But Pym by Matt Johnson it's about very big issues. It's about race in America. It's about American literature. It's about American history. It's extremely funny. And I thought it would be an interesting book to bring America to.
A couple more coming from our listeners. Maud on our comments page says she would have recommended The Orphan Master's Son by Adam Johnson. Incredible story, she says, and maybe most importantly, it was incredibly enlightening on North Korea. And a listener with the Twitter handle Jahaza suggested Ben Lerner's Leaving the Atoka Station. He calls it funny, brilliant, poetic, and flawed like its narrator. And here's a listener. We'll let somebody take a shot at Swamplandia, a non-fan of Swamplandia, George in Gowanus. Hi, George.
Hey, how's it going?
Why not?
It's funny. When I first heard the segment intro, I was like, oh, man, there could have been so many good things. Like, what was up for it? And then when I heard that one was up for it, I was really shocked because I'd heard a lot of reviews of that book, and they were all really glowing and all this, and I thought it was one of the worst books I had read in a really long time. Sort of seemed like she was trying so hard to be funny, and she's just not a funny writer, and it went over like a lead balloon, and there was like one interlude in that book that I thought was really, really beautiful. I think it was maybe published in the New Yorker. That was excellent. That part was great, and I felt like that should have been like expanded into a novel. But I don't know. I just really thought it was kind of crappy.
Thank you very much. Well, maybe George sat on the Pulitzer board, Sarah.
he was the dissenting vote.
Could be. Because the prize official explained the board's decision yesterday by saying whenever they make a decision, it's not meant to be a statement about fiction in general. It's just a statement that none was able to receive a majority. So could it be that instead of a snub, this is actually praise, that possibly these books were so good that the board couldn't decide among them?
It's possible. I mean, I'm sure there was no malice. I mean, from what I know of the judges, they're all extremely supportive of contemporary literature. I could see this being a very confusing debate.
And as a bookstore owner, in terms of sales, how important is winning a Pulitzer Prize for fiction versus just being nominated? And we have 10 seconds left.
Nominated, not much. The Pulitzer Prize is enormously important. I would say at this point it's the most important award, and they choose such magnificent books generally. I mean, books that they've popped out, like Olive Kitteridge or Visit from the Goon Squad that have, The Brief and Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde. So it's an extraordinary award.
Sarah McNally from the McNally Jackson Bookstore on Prince Street. Thank you very, very much.
Bye-bye.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. There you go. Lots of good stuff to read out there, prize or no.